In the toughest seasons, we need to worship like we did this morning. Because the harder I worship, the quicker I come through those seasons. When I don't worship, when I just blow things off or I just sit there and think about what I'm doing or what's going on in my life, those seasons seem to take a lot longer to get through. Amen? I want to encourage you, whatever season you're in, worship with all of your heart like never before. And everything starts to change quickly. Everything. Preston, I couldn't get you out of my heart this morning. We were worshiping. You were the only, yours and Kathy's face is all I could see. I'm trying to worship and all I see is you two and I keep going back and forth. And I just love it when God puts people on your heart to prepare for what he's getting ready to do. Amen? And you know what? I believe that God puts people on your hearts also. And sometimes you've held back from what God spoke to you. Please don't hold back. Please make sure that you share what God's placed on your heart when you're encouraging people. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, we're grateful that, for those of you who don't know, Andrew Duso, he was, the other day, his lung collapsed on him, and they said, apparently tall, skinny people, it's somewhat common. That's why it's never happened to me. But yeah, they say it happens, and his lung collapsed. He went to the hospital and stuff, but he's back up and running. They didn't have to do much. They couldn't do much, and it just starts to reinflate itself, apparently. This is outside of my understanding, but he's doing well. Thank God for that. Pete Voicy, he got home from the hospital yesterday, so he's home, and he's doing well. He called me this morning. He said it was so good to sleep. Because in the hospital, they wake you up every hour and a half, keep poking you and prodding you. He said, you can't sleep. So he slept for 7 hours. He's feeling a lot stronger. And then Nancy Fink, she texted me and my bride and said that all the tests came back with no, you know, markers for cancer. And so she's got to do one more round of chemo and then she's done. So a lot of good father issues. Amen. That we get to walk through. A couple more. Just on Monday night, tomorrow night, 6:30 to 7:30, there's going to be an informational meeting on religious exemptions. So if you have any questions for that, you got kids going to college and stuff, just be here. We just have information to give you on the preemptive measures, you know, religious exemptions and informational websites and resources so you can have it. Because, listen, guys, it's in our Constitution. Amen? Amen? It's in our Bill of Rights. These are our freedoms. And if the church doesn't do anything with their freedom, you're going to lose your freedom. It's just that simple. So you can say, well, brother, you can talk all you want. You're never going to convince me that the church is just supposed to sit down, shut up, and do nothing. Amen. They're meeting up in Albany this afternoon at 5 o'clock against the vaccine mandates. Oh, 1 o'clock, sorry. What did I say, 5? 1 o'clock. Yeah, you'll be awful lonely, you up there at 5. Or maybe you'll bring bail money, whatever. But 1 o'clock in Albany, up at the State Street in Albany, they're going to be meeting against the mandates. You know, how long has it been where we've heard all the rhetoric about my body? And I want you to know this is my body. And they're not putting nothing in it unless I agree to it. And he's my God, and I'm going to walk according to his word all the way through. And if we stand together, we win. What the enemy always does, this isn't in my sermon, but I believe that it's something necessary. When we go to war, the first thing we attack is we attack the information highway in every country. We lie. We shut down their communication, and we put out what we want them to hear. And that's the same thing the enemy does every time he tries to bring chaos. And he loves to bring division. God is not a divisive God. He's not a God that brings chaos. He's a God of order. Amen? And so when confusion comes, you know God's not in it. And I read the other day, and I agree with it. It's such a sad time that when you watch the news, the most trusted voice in the news is the weatherman. That's when you know there's a problem in the media. Okay? I agree with him. And I want you to know, though, if we'll stand on the promises that we have a freedom to say yes or no. You have that freedom. Don't let them lie to you. Look, I don't care whether you got the vaccine or not. That's your choice.
That's right.
You know what they're doing in France now? The people that got vaccinated are burning their vaccine cards. They're burning them because they said, we don't agree that you're coming against those that are unvaccinated. Isn't that amazing? See, this is what happens. But once again, the issue is not the vaccine, no vaccine. The issue is division. That's what the enemy wants, is division in this country. He wants it with black and white. He wants it with vaccine and unvaccine. He wants it to, he wants you to think there's only the Liberal Party and the Republican Party, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. He wants to try to get two camps because a house divided cannot stand. That's what he's looking for. And I've watched, you know, Christians argue about this stuff and fight about it. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. But they're fundamentally changing America. They're trying to gut the Constitution. They're trying to find ways and write their little laws. They love it when things happen that everybody focuses on. Because then they can sit behind closed doors and write these things and watch the rights slip away or the freedom slip away. America has fundamentally changed in a major way since the 1970s, and then in the 80s and the 90s. And we're at a critical time in America. We're at a critical time. Thank God for Brother Che An. He's out in California. And he fought against the lockdowns on the churches, and he won in the Supreme Court. Yeah, because he said, you can't shut us down and tell the liquor store he can stay open or the massage parlor they can stay open. How ludicrous is that? But you see how stupid the enemy is? That's what happens. And we have to make sure that we're not those that jump on board with the division. Again, if you feel you want to get the vaccine, I'm not going to argue with you. That is your choice and your division. We're not going to look down on it. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Right. And if they're not going to get unvaccinated, we're not going to look down on it. Everybody said?
Amen.
All right. See, that's the issue. But I'm not going to walk by their fear-mongering, and I'm not going to pay attention to what the mainstream media is propagating, because you need to have other resources to find out the truth. You got to find some other stuff, guys, because there's a lot of dangers with it. And a lot of the lies that are being propagated are destructive for people. So I just want to encourage you in that. That's up there at 1 o'clock. The information meeting will be tomorrow night at 6:30. The September 11th, 6 p.m., will be over at Lighthouse Church with Praise and Worship Night with the four churches getting together. Please set that night aside and then come on over and let's spend the night in worship, you know, and in prayer. When we look at the body of Christ right now and when we make opportunities for these things, you see that how many people say, well, you know what, I've got other things to do. What else are we supposed to be doing besides praising God and worshiping and praying together? Is there anything else we're supposed to be doing? Can I encourage you again that to get here early and get in prayer over in the Wilson room? We can talk afterwards. We can talk Friday, Saturday afternoon, Sunday night, whatever. But we need to be those that are in prayer. We need to believe that God hears and answers our cry. Amen? And we need to be those that say, you know what, I'm all done talking to man. I want to talk to the King. I want to talk to the Father. I want to spend more time with Him. And I just want to encourage you in that. And then the last thing is Rock Solid Bible Institute starts this Tuesday, August 31st at 6 o'clock, okay? So if you haven't registered, get registered. 6 o'clock on next Tuesday, all right? So that's it for them. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start there. Tell your neighbor, say you're in the right place. You're in the right place. How many here have been in the wrong place before? You're in the right place. I want you to know. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, then the Lord God took man. Now, this is after chapter 1 and part of chapter 2, and God has been creating, right? In the beginning, God created. He's established everything for man. Everything, every one of our needs were met by God. And then in chapter 2, God establishes man, creates man and woman. And then he says in Genesis chapter 2, 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. God lifted him. I wonder what Adam was saying when it says that God took him and put him. What was going through his mind? Was he translated? Did God walk him by the hand? Did he pick him up and just heave him over into there and let him land into the bulrushes, whatever? I wonder how God brought him in to there where it says he picked him up and he took him into the Garden of Eden. Now again, right, everything was already created by him for man. It was pristine. I want you to know where you're living right now is pristine. And all those that were in Guatemala said amen, right? Where you're living, what you're living in right now is pristine. Your houses, our houses that we go to, the jobs that you have, the vehicles that we're driving, all the different modes of transportation, all of the luxuries that we have at our fingertips, I want you to know, we are a blessed people, amen? God's hand has been on this country for a very long time. But he put man into the garden. And it goes on to say then to cultivate it also. And where God has placed you, tell your neighbor, say you're in the right place. Okay. Now this is about cultivating where you're at. You're in the right place. It's not a mistake. You weren't born in the wrong place. You weren't born different looking. You weren't born with less or with more. You were born in the right place at the right time. God took you and he placed you in this place that you're at. Amen? You had no say where you were going to be born, did you? None. You had no say where you were going to live in the very beginning. Right now, you have been following the Lord and you are in the right place where God wants you, preparing you to do what he has called you to do. Amen? So much of our lives is always looking for the next thing, isn't it? And missing where we're at right now. I want you to know there's power where you're at right now. All power, dead raising power right now in your life. Do we agree on that? Right, so where else are you going to go to try to find some more? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen? Right, the same Christ that lives on the inside of you is the same spirit that's on the inside of you is the spirit that raised Christ from the dead, right? We know that's what the scripture says, right? And yet, so much of the time, we're always looking for something else, another word or another place or another person or another time that we're going to draw from in order to strengthen us. I want you to know you're in the right place because you're in the presence of God. Because he said he's here. So you're in the right place. Whatever you've been looking for, you can find right here, right now. Because it's him. And with him comes the fullness. Amen? It's not another word. It's not another place. It's not another time. It's not another system. It's not another project. It's nothing else. Right now is a time no different than when God took Adam and he placed him in the garden. You've got to know that the garden that you're in is very fertile. It's a time and a season in America where you have great opportunities. Amen? You have a great opportunity to do whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be, go wherever you want to go. And you can walk in the power of God in every place that you walk. There's nothing hindering any one of us from proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. So the question is, what is hindering us from proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord? Because when we proclaim him as Lord, we lift him up. The Bible says all men will be drawn unto him. Right. So the issue in our lives is, wait a minute, I'm in the garden, I'm in the place. God took me and he planted me here. I'm here because of him. Now we're, if I'm in that garden where everything is supplied, I'm not worried. Adam and Eve weren't worried about what was being supplied. They had the presence of God. He walked with them in the cool of the day. All they had need of as far as their sustenance was taken care of. All they had to do was walk through and just eat and then tend to it. Get rid of the old and allow the new to be birthed into the garden. That was it. But it's amazing how, even with Adam and Eve, do you think there was anything lacking in the Garden of Eden? Do you think there's anything lacking in the presence of God right now? Okay, so there's enough power for you to forgive every single person that has hurt you, correct? Are you sure?
Yes.
There's no doubt in your mind. Okay, and you can do that, correct? Through Christ who? Right, so it's going to be in his strength that you're able to forgive. Right, so is there anything that you lack right now? Nothing. So what are we striving for? What is it that's that we're driving and striving for? What are we saving for? What are we giving our time to in order to have something? If we're satisfied with where we are, with what God has, knowing that he's going to supply everything we have in our future, we're not worried about that. Like Adam and Eve weren't worried about food. They didn't even give a thought about food. There was no thought. There was no thought about protection. There was no thought about God being there and overwhelming them with his presence. There was no doubt, and there was no thoughts about not having. And yet most of Christianity, when you sit and you listen, they talk about what is not rather than what is. When you have your conversations around the table, do we talk about what God has done, or do we talk about what hasn't happened in my life, or the problems, or the pain, or the thing that we can agree on? Do we go and hang out sometimes with weaker people because we know that they won't stop us from speaking what we want to tell them and be the victim? Or do we hang out with those that have gone on before us to find out how much I need to change? You see, that's where I want to be. I want to be with men and women of God that have done much more than I have ever thought of doing. Because that kind of vision stirs me up to faith and more good works. Amen? Because if we're going to walk by faith, I know Ethan did a teaching last week with the youth. He said, show me your works and I can tell you about what your where your faith is at. Isn't that true? Show me your works and I can tell you where your faith is at. It's that simple. Because is what I'm going through, is that what's consuming me? And is that what I have given myself to try to overcome? Or is he the one that has overcome and I have already overcome and now I'm giving myself to what he has spoken over my life? Because we're going to have to make that decision. One of the two is going to consume our thought process. It's amazing how it wasn't enough for Adam and Eve. And I just want you to take a look at your life, okay? Because that's what I've been doing, thinking about this for the last few days. Looking at my life and thinking about what I'm giving myself to, striving for, what I'm believing for, what I'm working for. What is it that all of these things that we're placing our hope and our work into, what is it accomplishing for the kingdom of God? Is it anything to do with the kingdom of God? I believe that every single person that is here today, God has placed you here, picked you up, and put you here today. Took you out of your bed, some out of addictions, horrible failures, and brought us all together this morning. You know, and whatever he has planted in each one of us, our job is to cultivate that. So from the day that we got saved, our job is to cultivate the word of God in our lives. So that's the thing that leads and guides us. And you know, we've heard that a million times. And the place he has for us now is a spiritual place and not so much a physical one. For in him we live and move and have our being, right? Or one version says our very existence. You are in the world, but not of the world. But in him we live. In him all my movements have to work towards the same end goal. In him I live. All of my movements, everything that I do with my hands, my feet, my mouth, my eyes, my whole body, every bit of that, I want to be moving in the direction that increases his kingdom. All that I have, all of my strength, all of my efforts, all of my energy, everything I am, how is it impacting and adding to the kingdom of God? Because if I'm going to be in him, right, and he's already washed us and cleansed us and healed us and delivered us, the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, all of that is gone. Now my job is to proclaim what his word says over every situation. Walk in that reality, because my realities have changed. Some are still walking in an old reality. Some are still walking in a reality that God said, when we took the waters of baptism, that old man was washed away. And that was a good day. Amen? I don't know about you, but I remember my baptism. It was in a giant pool. And I remember that day. Everything changed in my mind to a certain degree. All my thinking wasn't renewed, obviously. But all of a sudden, I knew something was about to happen. And when I came up out of those waters, something changed. And what I wanted to put my hands to was something different than what I used to put my hands to for a different purpose. The purpose was the expansion of the kingdom of God. You know, we're seated with him in heavenly places, and we know. Philippians 4:13, obviously, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And this is a walk of our flesh. this is walking out in our flesh, and yet produces spiritual and eternal outcomes. What things has he called us to do, and are we doing them? And do we feel like it is outside of our reach? Is what he called you to do, do you feel like it's outside of your reach? Remember the singer that said, it is well with my soul, right? You remember that song? Right. And it says it over and over and over again. So is it well with your soul between you and your God? And if not, if you feel like there's something lacking, right? Because we don't walk by feelings anyway, right? We walk according to the word of God. But if you feel like there's something lacking in you, then what else does God have to do to make you well? It's a question, right? It is well with my soul, right? Because he's already made a way for my sins to be washed away. He's already made a way. He deposited his spirit on the inside of me so that greater is he now that is in me than he that's in the world. And that all of my days in the future are already taken care of, all the way through into eternity. So if all of those things are taken care of and he's going to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, then what is it in me what is it that he has to do in order to make you well? Is there something else that God needs to do? And this is a question that everybody has to ask individually. Is there something that he didn't do well enough? Because you see, when we disagree with the word of God, that's what we're saying. When we sit and we become the victim, tell your neighbor, say, you're not a victim. Tell your other neighbor, say, neither are you. All right. There's no victims in the kingdom of God. So let's get rid of that silly thought process, right? It doesn't matter how bad or how horrible your yesterdays were. In Christ, you're a new creation. Can we all agree? Right. Can we agree that he's able to heal every abuse under the sun? I'm reminded when we were in Guatemala years ago, we were working on the orphanage, and this little four-year-old orphan, I think it was four or five-year-old boy. He came to the orphanage and he had these burn marks all over his legs and all over his body. And they brought him in to meet us, and he had walked, I think it was 35 miles to get to the orphanage. Took him days at 5 years old by himself to find that orphanage because his father didn't want him. And so he would light the corn husks and he would burn them with him when he sat at the table. He made him stand on the table and sit there and just burn a four-year-old and a five-year-old with the corn husks. So I'm not belittling your yesterdays. Please hear my heart in this. But the church has become a place where everyone, not everyone, so many keep talking about what happened to them rather than what Christ has done for each one of us. That little five-year-old boy, I can't imagine him walking for a week by himself through the night, finding food to eat at five, up through the mountains, just to find a safe place where he wouldn't get burned. See, that's when I hear these stories, I have a hard time with thou shalt not kill, because I want to destroy anybody that hurts babies in my natural man. And usually people that cause that kind of pain are people that have had a lot of pain in their lives or they've just been filled with the enemy. So the question is, again, has he done everything that needs to be done in order for you to be well? And if he has made us well, or he's made us whole, have you been made whole again? Right? Whatever was lacking, has he filled that in our lives? Because he created everything for Adam and Eve, and then he placed Adam there, and he said, everything you need, I have supplied. And it is spectacular. He said, everything that I've created, you know what? Go name them all. That must have been a fun 6 months. I don't know how long it took. And you know he got tired of naming things. That's why we have fly, right? But it didn't take long. We don't know exactly how long. Before the garden wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. God's love, God's presence, God's provision, walking with God in the cool of the day, enjoying all that he had, simply cultivating the garden. And then there came a thought, wait a minute, there's more God's not letting us in on. There must be more. And I believe that, you know, for each one of us, we've been on that. Jeff did a great job last week on the preeminence of Jesus Christ, that he is the King of glory and there is no other. And that when we walk with him, everything else bows. Amen? Every disease and sickness had to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the scripture is quite clear, and it says that he went around doing good and healing how many? All of them, right? So we know that as he is, so are we, and greater things he's called us to do. So each of these aspects, when we put them together, we know that it's a time and a season, and I believe in America and around the world, because this is not an American thing, what's going on, and it's not just about our Constitution. It's every country in the world. Can we all agree on that, right? It's every country. There is something happening around the world that the enemy is setting up to play games with. He knows his end is drawing near. And we all know he loses in the end, right? Right. He's the king of this world for now. But greater is he that's in us. So he has authority for those that are outside the body of Christ. But he doesn't have any inside this house. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, he doesn't have any authority in you. Yeah. Only what you give him. You start dabbling on the internet. You start dabbling with all kinds of foolish things. You go back to what's familiar like a dog to his vomit. You can give him access. But he has no authority over you. You are free indeed this morning. That's who you are. And you're in the right place this morning. You are positioned in Christ in heavenly places, seated next to the King of glory. Amen? Spiritually speaking, there is nothing lacking in any of us here. Nothing. God has done all things well. He said it was good when he was done. And then man said, well, your good wasn't good enough. Isn't that what we say sometimes? We don't put it like that. But we spend so much time complaining, looking for something more to fulfill. Oh, God. Forgive us for looking at something so temporal to fulfill us. What what we've been able to walk in and what we have received from the Lord is incredible. Our righteousness is unparalleled. To have right standing with the Father, that sin that no longer has dominion and joy unspeakable, no longer condemnation, none of that. The freedom that God has given us is incredible. And if you turn to Colossians 2 and 18 to 15, we're going to read that. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. I'm going to read that again. See to it that no one takes you captive. No one. No one. You're free indeed. Therefore, nobody yelling and screaming at you is going to take you captive. Nobody screaming abusive insults at you is going to take you captive. See, because when you're free, you just pray for them. You can still encourage them in the midst of their onslaught of foolishness. Amen? He said, I don't want nobody taking you captive. I don't care what man has to say. I don't want anybody. You've been set free by the power of my love, by the power of my blood, by my perfect plan. You've been set free. I don't want you to go back into bondage. I want you to be free indeed all the days of your life. So he said, what? Don't pay attention to the empty philosophies or the empty deception or according to tradition of man or according to elementary principles of this world. And I'm reminded when me and Jeff were talking the other day of when Jesus was talking to Zacchaeus, talking about the rebirth or the new birth or being born again. And he's one of the knowledgeable minds at the time. And he was like, we don't understand. How is that possible? How can a person go back up inside the womb and come back out again? And Jesus said, if you can't understand the simple things, the natural things that I explained to you, how can I give you the supernatural or the spiritual things? And how much time have we spent thinking about just the natural things rather than the supernatural? How much time have we spent talking about the natural things in this world that have either happened to us or that we desire to do rather than the supernatural things that God desires to do through you? Because every job that you have is a place of employment for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Amen? No matter where we go. It goes on to say in verse 9, it says, for in him, tell your neighbor, say in him. Amen. See that? You're in the right place. You're in him. That's a good place to be. In him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him, tell your other neighbor, say, in him. You have been made complete, past tense. It's a done deal. There's not something more that has to happen to you. You're going to have to agree with it. Christ lives on the inside of me. He's planted me here. I'm in him. That's the good place to be. In him. Nothing else do I need. Everything else that God supplies is for his glory and for the expanse of his kingdom. And it says, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Okay, as he is, so are we. And if he's the head over all rule and authority, meaning every principality and power and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, there is nothing that has dominion over you. Nothing. No demon. No devil. Flip Wilson, he was wrong. He lied. All right? The devil has no authority over you. That's a good place to be, isn't it? Where you're truly free. But how many times if God doesn't do what we've asked him to do when we wanted, we start to go back into either the victim mentality or we go back into an old habit because it was familiar, because we didn't get what we wanted when we wanted. Verse 11 says, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Through him. You are in him. Look at the first thing he did was take all of his weapons. Took all of the enemy's weapons away from him. When he comes at you, he doesn't have any weapons. He doesn't have any authority. The only thing the enemy has is your ear. That's how he enters in. He just says something, and it resonates. Someone else says something, and it stings. Something happens through our ears. And we allow the thought to come and rule, or the word to come and rule. One of the two is what God is going to allow to rule. Amen? My prayer is that the word of God rules and reigns over each and every one of us so that he is glorified. Yet at times, sometimes, a lot of the times, we refuse to acknowledge all that he has done, accept it as the truth, and learn to walk forward and engage him and him alone. It goes on to say in verse 8, you know, see that no one, or it says it again, see that no one takes you captive. See that no one. No one is allowed to take you captive. Husbands have said things that were wrong. Wives have said things that were wrong. Children have said things that are wrong. And we're all children. And we've all said things that are wrong. But he said, see to it that all of those philosophies, all of the empty deception, and according to traditions of men, according to the elementary principles. The principles of this world are pretty elementary. The principles of the devil are very elementary. They're very simple. I want you to get hurt so that you pull away from everyone. And a man or a woman who isolates himself seeks their own destruction. You're easy prey for me if I can get you thinking about yourself, crying about yourself, whining about yourself, talking about yourself, talking about others, complaining about others, whatever it is. That's all he wants. I want something to happen to you, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to allow it to resonate with something that happened in the past. And I want to stir that up again. God said, hey, don't get caught up in the deception. Okay? What's being produced across the airways right now? Deception. Filled with deception. Filled with it. You know, and I know I've said it before, my one question always is, with this jab is, when would you ever use an experimental drug on a pregnant woman? The most valuable commodity on the planet is that baby in the womb. The most precious thing. That baby in the womb, why would you ever do an experiment on a woman as they're getting ready to give birth or in them stages? Nobody in a right mind would ever use pregnant women as guinea pigs. Nobody on the face of this planet, unless there's something else going on. The enemy wants to control the information, to control what you see, to control you through fear, and to always use confusion. Verse 12 says, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. So we're going to have to either step out in faith or we're going to have to walk according to what man says. And faith is working by God in your life. God's desire, he said, obviously, that faith is the things that that we hope for, things that we can't see. These are things that he said, I want you to put your faith and your hope in. I want you to put your trust in my word that I'm going to work all things out for your life. I've planted, you're in a good place. You're in him. If you're in him, then his word is in you. His spirit lives on the inside of you. And no matter where you walk no longer as a victim, complaining about no one, but pouring out all that you have for those that are around you. Amen? Tell your neighbors, I need nothing you have. Tell your other neighbor, say, I don't want nothing you have. Faith is saying things that are not as though they are, all right? So, but this is where we have to get to, because faith is, I don't need anything. Why? Because I'm in him. He's enough. He's more than enough. He's the greatest gift that's ever been perpetrated on the planet. Nothing compares to him. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we'll be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Okay, so if you're in him, your job, we already know, we're already comforted in any affliction that we go through, right? Yes. Right, so we don't have to worry about it because we know the comforter is the Holy Spirit. Right? Jesus said, it's expedient that I must go. Hey, you can have me one-on-one, but I can only touch so many people. I'm going to go. The Spirit of God is going to come. He's going to infuse himself into every single believer there is. And the very power of God, sustainable power, unparalleled power of God, is going to walk you through every single affliction where you will lack nothing. All of it is for you. Every bit of it. And guess what? I am going to comfort you in such a way that you're going to be able to comfort other people no matter what affliction they're going through. Amen. All right, so from now on, when you get together, somebody comes to your house, I don't care if they're Christians or not Christians. If they come and they start whining and sniveling, say, hang on a second. I got all kinds of comfort for you. Here's our comfort food. It's the Word of God. We've had enough other comfort foods, and it's been costly. But now I want to grab a hold of the comfort food, because he said, you're so powerful, you're so mighty, you're so filled with all that you have need of, that no matter what affliction people are walking through, when they walk into your house, you're able to bring comfort into their lives. So the question is, do people feel comforted when they leave your presence? Do they feel strengthened? Do they feel lifted up? Do they understand that now I can do this? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or when they walk, do they say, oh dear Lord, honey, I don't know if we can go to their house for dinner for a while. I got to get strengthened in the Lord. When they leave your house, do they walk out in there? What did we just go through? Holy mackerel. What was that? I think the valley we just went through. What is it? You see, the Bible says that whenever they leave you, they should feel comforted with great comfort, that there would be no doubts in their mind that they're loved by you and by God. There should be no doubt in their mind that they can do what God's called them to do. There should be no doubt in their mind that they're not a victim any longer. There should be no doubt in their mind that even though your children make all kinds of mistakes, just keep loving them. Because they are a gift from God, and they're going to teach you how to pray without ceasing. That's what's going to happen in your life. Can I tell you, when they come, our job is to comfort them. See, Mike and Jenny come now. When they come into the house, I just like to give them a hug. Well, I do like to give Savannah a hug, yes, but my granddaughter, but I like to give them hugs too. And Waylon and all the rest of them. But I don't, when they come, I don't want to think about anything else except you're loved, you're appreciated, you're a gift. We just are so grateful for you. That's the only thoughts I want. And you know what? Everyone that comes into your house is one of God's kids. And so therefore that thought has to be the same. You have been, tell your neighbor, say, God has comforted me. Tell your other neighbors, I'm loaded with comfort. That's right. You're loaded with comfort. You see, because if we are in Christ, then we lack nothing. Amen? If we are in Christ, I'm no longer a beggar. If we are in Christ, my days are going to be amazing from here on out. No matter where I go, no matter what happens around here, if I am in Christ, I'm always going to have enough to sow into somebody else's life. If I am in Christ, then no matter where I walk, life is going to flow out of every single one of us. Amen? So you're in a good place when you are in Jesus Christ. The church isn't the issue. This is a place we get built up and strengthened. But it's you being in Christ, being a comfort to those who need it. And there's a lot of them out there that need some comfort from you. That's what he's calling you to do, Kathy, when they call. Bring a comfort. Listen to what they have to say. Throw it all in a toilet, flush it, and then give them the truth, the Word of God, and bring the comfort in with her life. Say, I love you, Miss Kathy. Why? Because we bring a strength. So you're in a good place when you're in Christ. Amen? Let's stand up this morning. John 3, 1 through 4, it says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, than my children walking in the truth. He didn't say, if they don't make mistakes, because we know that's going to happen. He only said, if they're walking in the truth. He looks at the heart of every single individual here. Remember the song, In Christ Alone? The first verse, it says, In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. That's it. If you're the only one in your family that's standing, then stand, because they're all coming because of you. I don't care what they're doing right now. You stand in Christ alone. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the sons and daughters in the house of God. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for those that have just gotten saved. Those, oh God, that have been saved for a while. I thank you for every single one that is in Christ. Father, to be submerged in you, to abide in you, to be overwhelmed by you, to allow your word to overwhelm us, to listen to your Holy Spirit, to be speaking in tongues more than anyone else, building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Father, to be in you is a place of rest. It's a place of peace in the storm. It's a place of strength when we're weak. It's a place of victory and no longer victimhood. It's a place where there's plenty of mercy and grace. Love that's unstoppable. Lord, I thank you for the love that you have covered us in this morning. I thank you for the love that you have deposited in that one person that came and told us about you. Oh, thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the one that started to speak life over our lives when we were walking in darkness. Thank you. Thank you for where we are right now. Thank you, Father, for what you've brought us out of. Thank you for tomorrow. Lord, we don't know what's coming, but we know that when we walk in you, when we proclaim your word, when we love those that you have created, our lives become richer, the kingdom becomes larger, and everyone around us is changed by your great love in us. So thank you for the provision already waiting for us tomorrow. Thank you for the victory right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, whatever thought has been plaguing each and every one here, Lord, if there's one that's been addiction of any sort, or if there's some of unforgiveness, Lord, whatever it is, if there's some, maybe it's overbearing grief that seems like it just won't go away. And in the times of loss, oh God, you have called us to grieve, but not as those with no hope. Father, I pray, let faith arise. That faith that you said in your word, you are working on. You started a good work in each one of us, and you're going to complete it. Father, this morning, let faith arise in every life, as we sang earlier. Anything in our lives that's not of you. Look what happened to that stone in the garden when God said to move. Father, it may seem like a big stone around someone's neck this morning. It may seem like a yoke that has been there for a long time. But right now, in the name of Jesus, God says to move in Jesus' name. Father, that lie that has been hanging on, that lie that has been perpetrated upon someone in here this morning, one that says you can't, seems like a heavy rock, one that would try to hold you back. Your mistake was too great. God can never allow you to walk out all that he's promised to everybody else is a lie. That stone has to move today. So Father, we just say, move in Jesus' name. Now, weight, shackles, chains, yokes, break in Jesus' name. They're broken in Jesus' name. Everlasting to everlasting to everlasting to everlasting is the love that the Father has for you. You truly are free indeed this morning through the power of his great love. Father, I thank you for the victory that each one has and for the change in people's lives that's coming this week. We thank you for each one bringing somebody, speaking life, being the comforter to those, no matter what situation they're in, so that they would come and bow their knee to the King of Glory. Thank you, Father, for our healing, our deliverance, our salvation, our righteousness, all of it given by grace through our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.